Okay, now last week we began to speak about what I titled creative power. And I remember that we read from the book of Luke chapter 19, where I was explaining the parable of Jesus Christ, when he said that a nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself. And while he was going, he shared out 10 minas to his 10 different slaves or servants. And then according to how they performed with that mina, he now placed them over cities. And I established that what happened there was that he was testing them to find out what their heart was like and their attitudes and abilities in handling resources. That when he told them to do business, I remember one thing he said. He said, I use the New American Standard. He said it like this. He said, do business with this. That what I want to bring out is with this. He said, do business with this until I come back. That is, he knew that he was going to gain cities. And that when he would have gained the cities, he would need people to rule over the cities. So what he was doing was to test people to find out exactly how they will manage when he would give them cities. And the way by which he did it was to give them something, which now was money. He said, occupy with this, do business with this money until I come back. I hope you're getting the point. Now, he says, as you will have done business with the money that he gave you, that he will now decide whether you are able to handle greater resources. All right? The point I'm making from there is this. It was not their desire, really, that came to pass, but the reward for their effectiveness in what they were given to do. Now, I try to use that one to lay a foundation for what we're going to be discussing. And that's the fact that I'm talking about creative power, you know, because one thing is clear. Let me say this one again before I develop that further. Anything that God wants to do on the earth, he will do through people. Are you getting what I'm saying? Anything he wants to do on the earth, he will do through his church, people that he has placed on the earth. God is not making anything new anymore. What he has done is to make everything that human being needs, and then he puts wisdom inside people, all right? They will now use that wisdom to do the thing that God wants done on the earth. Now, so what am I trying to say? So then what we established is that, see, where you will get to in life, all right, is not based upon what you desire, but where God looked at and then qualified you that you will get to. Now, when we're talking about creative power, now I explained that so that we will understand that, you see, the Bible says that, Jesus said, using my version, he said, occupy with this. That thing that he gave to those people, that occupy with this. That's what I want to leave my emphasis before I go on again. He said, occupy with this one until I come. That is, it is not your jumping around looking for what will step you to a high level in life that will actually take you there. It is what? Occupying with what? This, the one that God has given you. That is, God may want to make a man the president of the country. Yet, what he will give him, first of all, listen to this, is a teaching appointment in a nursery school. And it tells the guy, in effect, occupy with this until I come for your breakthrough. Occupy with this until I'm ready to show forth my favor upon you. Occupy with this. And the mistake people make, all right? This is a mistake people make a lot of times. They think that, look, there is no path, you know, easy that you can draw between teaching nursery school pupils and becoming a president of a nation. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's lack of faith, really. Because if you have read your Bible, you'll have understood that David, it was worse for David because he was actually in the wilderness and he was a shepherd. He was not a warrior. Not only was he not a warrior, he was actually a small boy. Are you getting the point I'm making? He didn't have the stature. I said to you before that when the Bible said that when David came, he was ruddy and of a handsome countenance. The way we have looked at it is that this guy is very fine. Oh, this guy is just a fine boy. Actually, it was not a compliment. Are you getting my point? It was like saying that this guy is pepperless. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, for where he's going, he didn't look like that. He was a small boy. Handsome is as if the guy is delicate. Please, I hope you're getting my point. That is, unlike his brothers, who were bigger than him, who were more experienced, who were stronger. He was somebody who was not, you know what I mean? Like, when I say fine boy now, you know, he's not a ruffian, he's not a strong fellow. So that's what the mistake people make. They think that what God needs is for me to go somewhere and, you know, do what appears like it can take me to a great place. But no, using New American Standard rendering, Jesus said, occupy with what? This. I like that in my Bible. Occupy with this until I come back. And I said that what I'm going to be teaching, creative power, is a general principle of life, but I want Christians to learn how to use that creative power in the areas that God has given them to occupy. Do you get my point? Because we're going to teach principles where we'll explain some things about life, and somebody will say, oh, this what Pastor Bangi has said is very, very great. All right, so instead of him focusing on what God has given him at this particular point in time, he hears, like if you listen to my radio broadcasting last, that's yesterday's zone, all right? I explained something that I had a friend, a man of God, you know, we met and we're talking, and he told me about his friend who has made about 20 million naira from trading in stocks and investing in the stock market, and that he's thinking that maybe by next year, he too should get into that swing and he'll be able to get a lot of money. And I called him aside and said, man of God, listen to me. If you want to become poor in life, start. Are you getting my point? If you want God to reject you, now I'm adding more words to it. If you want God to reject you and keep you aside, start. Because you that I know what you do. Are you getting what I'm saying? I understand what your profession is, and I know the effect you are having in ministry. If you are going to sit down like your friend and begin to do that, then it's because you think that that is the pathway to progress. It's because you think that that is the way by which God will take you to the great place you are asking him for. Are you following what I'm saying? If God has given you, and it's somebody that God gave the gift of planting churches, all right? He's an Orthodox minister, but God gave him that gift. You get what I'm saying? Now, if God has given you that gift of establishing churches and building up people in the word of God, I said to you something, was it last week I said or some time ago, that whatever you want in life, ask God for it. Then occupy with what he has given you until he comes. There's what the Bible calls the day of appearance of the Lord, the day of judgment of our God. There's the day of the visitation of God. That day will come one day. Until that day comes, what you do is take what he has given you and you occupy with it until he comes back. Let me share something with you. Just be interesting. My wife is not in town, as you know, and I love my wife very much. And be honest with you, I'm missing my wife very, very seriously. No jokes about that, all right? I've not seen her for some days now. Ah, hi. And I'm alone, essentially, taking care of two boys. So my wife and I will be discussing. I said, let me just trip down to Benin where she is and just see her for a day. We now began trying to work out that day. That's where I'm going to. Now, because of my job in the university, it's a bit, I can't just walk away, all right? Now, what I have usually is what, weekends. I can sneak away a day away from work if I don't have much to do and be back. So, it will have made sense to disappear on Friday. Now, that's where I'm going. Except that I have to be here to teach on Saturday. I said, okay, let me disappear on Monday. Then I remember that we just had this, our new series of broadcasts, you know? So, I've not yet gotten the ones coming ready. I have to probably teach radio again tomorrow. And Monday, I have to teach School of Bible Exegesis. Are you getting what I'm saying? That everywhere I went, ministry would just block my going to see my wife. You are getting what I'm trying to say. I mean, I have a little boy. She delivered last week. And I've only seen him once. Do you get what I'm making? I just like, oh, what's all of this thing, self? So an idea just came to my mind. I said, okay, I beg. Next time, I can't just come and preach. Let me go. And I did myself, okay, you know you can't do that. You can't do it. Why? Because you are occupying with this until he comes. Now, let me tell you this. A day will come which I will tell you that, okay, please, I'm coming. Let me go and see my wife. I will go to the airport, fly a private jet. Are you getting my point? See my wife for the evening. And then first tomorrow morning, I enter that same plane and come back home. That is what they call the day of visitation. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Until the day of visitation, you occupy. I have seen people refuse to occupy what God gave them to occupy with. And that happens a lot. You know, their pressures can come. Let me just keep, you know, I'm always talking on creative power, but you will learn one or two things as I'm talking, I hope, all right? I'm not going to creative power. What I'm just trying to say is that you will realize where you should focus your energy when we begin to talk about how to use it. Are you getting my point? All right? Because you don't just go around diffusing your energy everywhere. Is that okay? Now, so life can really distract you. Like I was teaching on radio, I said, look, life can be hard. But you have a spirit. The Bible says that the spirit of a man will bear infirmities, all right? That is, when you have problems sometimes in life, that's what I mean by infirmities or sicknesses. But your spirit, your drive, the goal, the place you are going forward in life actually helps you overlook all your infirmities at a particular point in time. Now, this is the point I'm making. Most people in life, what happens is that because of the infirmities, because of the lack, because of maybe the man needs money. Everybody, look, listen to me, everybody needs money. Nobody, look, faith does not mean that we don't realize what is going on. The Bible says that Abraham considered his body. Faith is that I recognize that do I need this thing? I will have to wait until my change comes. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I will wait until God who I serve, all right, gives it to me. Now, so people sometimes, this is what happens. They get distracted from the thing that God said they should occupy with. And what distracts them, I told you before that mammon is not covetousness. There's a world of difference between mammon and covetousness. Mammon is what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed. That's what mammon is. Mammon is not me too, I want to drive a brand new E570. If there's anything like that, I don't know. But, you know, that's not what mammon is. Mammon is that man must work. Mammon is that man must pay his rent. The basic things. Are you getting my point? So sometimes they stand as a threat. So people now go away from where they are supposed to occupy, and they start trying to get, you know, breakthrough. They are trying to get victory. The service of God, listen, is that I have given you something to do. Now listen to that. It might be training. I don't know why I keep on saying this. It might be training problem children, which you will find out that you have a gift for because you landed working in a nursery school. Do you get my point? Because there are different kinds of children. There's what they call attention deficit and hyperconnective disorder. Uh-huh. There are children that they can't just focus on anything. All right? But you might find out that inside you there's a gift, all right, to take care of that. So, but then it really doesn't yield money quickly. That's the point I'm making. So people now think that, okay, God is not blessing us here. So let us go and do other things so that God might bless us. Unfortunately, they don't understand that the service of God for them is that they do that thing well. And if you serve God effectively, listen, God judges what you have done to promote you according to, based upon what he gave you. Do you follow my point? If God gave you 2 nursery school children to teach, and you multiply them in knowledge and the fear of God, all right, and they became 10, spiritually speaking now, all right, he rewards you much better than the man he gave $1 billion to do trade, and the man multiplied it to $2 billion. Are you getting what I'm saying? He will not say that this guy is used to handling money, all right, therefore, let's give him more money to handle. No, he will not say, this guy, I gave him $1 billion, he made it $2 billion. Fine, he's able to double it, so put him in charge of 2 cities. But the chap who only dealt with small children, but had a tenfold increase, all right, God will put him in charge of 10 cities, knowing that this guy will be effective. Because there's a principle there. Jesus said, he that is faithful in little will also be faithful. Now, get my point. He said, he will, it's a matter of fact, he will be faithful in much. So if we're looking for much in life, all right, we don't run out looking for much. We pray to God for much and be faithful in little. Please, I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. You know, like that I was telling you about my man of girlfriend that we're talking. I told you that, listen, my friend, if you want to really, really become frustrated, like I said on radio, and fail permanently, then start. Start because it appears to you that those who are trading in stocks, they are making money faster. And that's why, you see, when I was in Lagos, and it has improved now, but still as bad. One of the most unreliable set of human beings on earth were bankers. Are you getting my point? You couldn't trust him with anything. He won't steal your money, but he works for you for 1 month. He hears that another one has opened next door, and is paying twice the salary he has jumped there. So I told somebody that I don't think this is right. Now, I wasn't saying don't earn money or not, don't get money. The point I was just trying to make to the people then when I was saying is that, listen, the principle here is you should understand that there's something called faithfulness. Are you getting my point? And I was talking with a guy one day. He said, no, you don't understand that this is the quickest way to move up. And I said, okay, you see, this is what I call war. When the Bible talks about not of the world, when it says not of the world, when it says not of the world, when you want to practice things that are not of the world, you will be amazed that a lot of times it will cost you a lot of money and it will make you look foolish. Are you getting my point? I said this is a principle of the world. I'm not saying never leave one job and go to another. I'm not saying that. I said, but then you wake up, a man gets up today. He applies and uses all the connection to get a job. He starts working. Then the very next day, he hears that, right across the road, another one has opened and they are paying twice the salary. Without any remorse, nothing, he jumps to the next one. He says it's the quickest way to move forward. I said it's a lie. But the surest way is occupy with this until I come. When that guy was talking to me that day, we were just talking. I said, listen, I have come to understand in life that if, let me explain now. His friend said made 20 million naira doing this kind of business. He, you know, the normal human being would think that I, if I had known, I should have joined him when he started. And by now, I too would have made 20 million naira. Again, if you don't, if you're not there for the seminar, go and listen to the messages. When I talk about the real faith, one of the messages I talked about how to assess your life correctly. Jesus said something like this. He said, a man's life does not consist or cannot be judged. It cannot be assessed, all right, by the amount of worldly materials that he possesses. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That it's not possible. That is what God was saying there in effect is that you cannot say that your friend was luckier than you. Do you get my point? Just because now he has made 20 million and you haven't. Listen, that's what faith is. Faith is not just that, you know, I am tired of faith that only produces money. I want to start hearing testimonies in which people lost money. I don't know what I mean by lost money. I don't mean you invested money and it disappeared. No. I mean that you made decisions and people made 20 million and you made 20 kobo. And the faith is that despite the fact that you didn't make what they made, your heart is still strong and you still know that the day of the visitation of your God is still coming. Are you getting the point I'm making? So I said, look, the fact that this man did this and you did not, Jesus said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Therefore, according to the words of Jesus, it is not possible for us to say the guy was lucky and you were not. Do you follow the point I'm making? It is not possible. When Lot made his decision to go away from Abraham towards the plains of Sodom, he thought it was the best way to move forward. The Bible says he looked towards the plains of Sodom and they were well watered like the garden of the Lord. He said that was before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Are you getting my point? But then when God finally destroyed, who lost that eventually? I said, where other people went and made millions? You can go there, initially get millions. By the time you pull out, you are broke, flat. You're actually now owing money. What am I trying to explain? That you want eternal victory in life. You want to succeed permanently. Jesus said, this is how it comes. You occupy with what? This. I like to use myself, of course. John said, this is what we have handled as a testimony. When I finished residency, people were saying that, we want to go and look for a job in one company that's paying very, very big money. I said, why will I do that? They said, why not? I said, because I won't be teaching anybody there. Are you getting the point I'm making? I said, first and foremost, this guy is what? A teacher. I love to teach. I am supposed to teach. But they don't pay university teachers very well. It's irrelevant. I am supposed to teach. And I love to teach. Woe be me if I don't teach people. You know, like Paul said, if I don't preach the gospel. That is, it is a problem for me if I am not teaching somebody. If other people have gone somewhere else, they say, you see, we told you that time that, you see, it's 15 years now. They have made 100 million. You haven't made 1 million. I'll just bring out the catalog of Kingdom World Tips. I'll bring my certificates of awards I have gotten for being the best lecturer. I will bring out everything and say, look at it. In 15 years, look at what I have achieved. He said, but they have 100 million. He said, don't be an idiot. Jesus said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. Do you get the point I'm making? In fact, let me tell you simply, in life, there's never a time that a man's life consists of the abundance of things that he possesses. Look at that our parable in Luke chapter 19. When the guy, you know, don't forget, you know, they were returning money to the master. They were not saying that, how do we share this profit? I hope you know that. 10 minas, one to each person. One multiplied 10 times. At least he gave master back 11. Master said, good boy. Fine guy. What was the next thing the master gave him? Plenty of money. He said, no, more work. Go and be in charge of 10 cities. If you were sleeping 10 hours before, I hereby cut it down to 5 hours. Because from now, you are going to be in charge of 10 cities. First time I ever heard somebody speak anything like this was Reverend Kola Iwosho many years ago in Lagos, around 1995, 96, thereabout. I think it was 95. Came to Lagos to teach. He said, Joseph was always a servant, and he died a servant. That was the first time I understood it. Until then, and people still get the impression when you say things like that, that you see, after Joseph obeyed God and walked in righteousness, then one day God rewarded him, he now became king in Israel. I like the way Tokyo Sexuali said it. That's one South African man. He said it's a black man's mentality. He likes to be chief. Now, he was talking about, he said, why won't you run for president in South Africa? He said, that why should I run for president? Are you telling me I can do more good for this country than being a businessman and creator of wealth that I am right now? He said it's a black man's thing that they like to be chief. That's so the thing that you have tried now, come and become chief. Now, using that expression also, we have that attitude that, you know, because naturally in our own nation, rulers make money. Do you get my point? So we think that the fact that God promoted him to being a ruler now means he now has more money. Listen to me, it is not true. He only had what? More responsibilities. That was what happened to him. Of course, naturally, his bondage was loosed. We thank God for that. And but like I always say, his stomach did not increase in size. It never happens. You get what I'm saying? Your stomach remains the same size. What are you going to eat? So now he had chariots to do what? To go from one point of administration to another. It's not to ride around jolly and say, nah, but it's a chariot now. Wow. This is a specially designed one. No, nothing like that. He had many provinces he was in charge of. He had to go and oversee things. For that reason, he needs chariots. You know, I was explaining something. I think it was here then, and I've used the explanation a lot of times. You know, sometimes you don't understand, you know, because of, you know what they call poverty mentality. You have been poor your life, even though you think you are rich, but actually in your mind, you've been very, very poor. So when you see a man doing something that appears like he's spending a lot of money, you are thinking from your level of poverty that he's wasting money. Now, I know what I'm trying to say. So the story says that somebody, maybe like Bill Gates, for example, flies a private jet, or he has a suit reserved for him in one hotel somewhere in, let's say, London, and nobody else stays there. I'm giving as an example. Let's assume he goes to London frequently. Now, you will say, oh, these rich people said they just like to waste money. After all, in that suit, he pays it by $1,000 a day. So in a year, they pay $365,000, even though he may not even stay there more than maybe total more of 30 days in a year, and they pay that amount of money. When people say things like that, I'm educating you now, don't join them. Never speak against the rich. Are you getting my point? You can speak against thieves and crooks, but somebody doing something because he has money, just don't talk, because you have no understanding why he's doing it. I explained to somebody, I said, do you know why? Last year, either 2005 or 2006, Bill Gates was paid dividends, all right, from Microsoft, $4 billion. Now, calculate that on a daily basis. Now, just think about it. I said, if he arrives at an airport, okay, and you tell him, let me give an example. The day I was coming back from the US, I flew Emirates. I waited 25 hours in Dubai to connect the next flight. Because the flight I was connecting to Nigeria, it was 1 hour after the one coming from New York. Are you getting my point? And they said they can't check into that one. The time is too close. So the next one is 24 hours away. So I have to wait 25 hours. If you make Bill Gates wait one full day in an airport, you have wasted $4 billion divided by $365. They said if they put money on the floor, all right, and tell Bill Gates, start picking it up, it's a waste of time. He earns money faster working for Microsoft than any human being can pick money from the floor. So his stupidity on his part not to have a plane waiting for him all the time. Because if he has to queue at the airport and you delay his flight by 5 hours, value it, is more than the cost of running a plane for 1 month. Are you getting my point? So, but when you have been poor all your life, all you are thinking of is that, now, wow, a whole suit, only one man. Because you are thinking of poverty, that you have nothing else to do, to go and sit down there and enjoy and cross your leg and watch CNN. No, I know why I'm saying these things. Because, you see, I'm trying to explain something here, that God will help you enjoy life, but then what he gave to those people, all right, is more responsibility. And some of the things you think it is enjoyment is actually functional for the responsibility that God has given them. I remember once I was listening to Bishop Oyedepo, who went for School of Ministry, and he said, as at that time of the year, May, that particular year, he hadn't had more than 5 days in which he did not preach. And that was not when he's as busy as he is right now. It was around 1996, 97. That year, it was May. This was end of May. He said there was a day he was in, I think, Kenya. He wanted to come back home. They told him one long story about connecting flight to maybe to Johannesburg, from there connect down to one way and then finally get to Lagos. When he calculated it, he phoned Bishop Abiy. He said, charter a plane. I'm waiting at the airport. He just phoned him. Charter a plane. What nonsense. I will stay here for the next, or jumping from one city to the other, doing nothing. He just phoned them in Kaduna. He said, charter a plane. I'm waiting. They chartered a plane, flew it down straight to East Africa, picked him up and brought him home. I don't know which kind of nonsense is that. If poverty mentality, say, that money can send many poor people to school. You know, Judas Iscariot. Are you getting the principle? I hope you're getting the point I'm making. I'm not explaining this. So stop thinking, like, the idea is that it's for function. All right? So that's why God rewards people like that. He demonstrates your ability to what? Perform. And what people see sometimes as if this guy is not chopping life. He's not chopping life. It's more performance. It's more assignment. Let me tell you the truth. There are more teaching invitations I would have been taking now as Banky, as a person. All right? No, really. You can. There are invitations I will start taking. If you just get me a driver, all right, and an extremely comfortable car, big one, you know, and then another person to sit in front, that is, all I need to do, just hold my Bible and cross my leg. I'll be taking invitations. One of the reasons why ask Lisemeka, 90%, in fact, if you come out, meet Lisemeka, that please, want to invite Pastor Pai, he's not going to come. He tells you that straight ahead, that don't waste your time. The guy ain't going to come. And one of my reasons is simple. By the time I drive from here to where, before I start preaching, I'm tired. I will not finish preaching. One night, they said I should come and preach in Ogu. No, NYC, but they sent me a letter, come and bless us. I said, you know, they do fellowship at 9 p.m. Now they increase your head. I go begin drive from the hill of Ogu to Enugu because young boys and girls want to do fellowship. I just wrote a letter that, hey, if you want me to preach, come on, all of you go and gather in Enugu here at 9 o'clock in the morning, not 9 o'clock at night. But do you know that there's a higher chance of my accepting to go if there are people waiting that are just, okay, it's 8 o'clock, let's go. I just relax in the car. You drive me very, very nice, comfortable, you know, fast one, climb the hill, you know, chicken, a Range Rover, you know, get down there, and then you drive back. There's a better chance of my accepting the invitation. Do you understand my point? But it's not that you just sit there and say, this man of God is just chopping life for sea. Two people are just waiting for him downstairs. They just carried him, and then, you know, two cars, fine car like this. I mean, well, if you just sold those cars now, many people would just be going to school. The Lord is good. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making. I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. So this is just what I'm trying to get across. That for us to increase in life, what God wants to see us do is become functional and demonstrate productivity with the little that he has given. Ron Kennelly, again, is an example I've used in that area. When he became a believer and began to minister the gospel gospel in music like he does till now, he tried to become a good musician. Are you getting my point? That's sign up a big good contract. And nobody opened doors for him. Nobody. He wrote letters to everybody he knew. Nobody answered him. But he had a job that God gave him. I said, what? Occupy with this until I come. Don't forget what the Bible calls the day of God's visitation. Jesus said, occupy with this until that day comes. Do you understand my point? So that day, you know, after he had tried and tried and nobody listened to him, he now one day entered the church where he was. That was the job God gave him. God gave him a job as what? A music pastor. What they call music pastor. Essentially, choir director in a church, organizing praise worship. Shekinah, nothing more than that. So he just told God that, all right, if nobody will listen to me, you will listen to me. So he entered the church, locked himself in, and began to sing all the songs that nobody's agreeing to sign contracts for him to sing. He said, God, no problem. You will listen to me now.
He said he sang and played. He doesn't know how long he did it. The only thing he remembered was after a long time, he had left the piano and he was on the floor singing to God, worshiping. Finally, when he got up in tears and everything, he told God, now I am done. I'm not writing anybody any letter again. I am not going to try. What I'm going to do now is occupy with this. Now, I'm using my own words now. Until you come. So what will he do? He made sure he had the best choir that was possible. You enter the church, people will actually come to come and attend their praise worship sessions. One of those days, maybe somebody told him, I think it's Don Moen or Michael Coleman, one of the executive directors of Integrity Music, Hosanna Music, walked into the service and watched him do his occupation. Do you get what I'm going to say now? Where he was occupying, what he was occupying with. At the end of the service, let's assume it was Don Moen, walked up to him and said, hello, my name is Don Moen. I was so blessed by today's ministration. I was just thinking that maybe you consider praying about coming to record an album with us. Here's my card. Give me a call anytime. He said, that was one thing I never had to pray about. Are you getting the point? Immediately after that, he recorded Jesus is Alive. After that, he recorded Lift Him Up. Lift Him Up, just before he came to Nigeria and he was teaching that seminar, had just been declared the best-selling praise and worship music ever produced until that time. Because God said, you have been faithful in little, I will put you in charge of much. If it was money he was looking for, then he had money. Do you get what I'm trying to say? But let me tell you something. One of the things you will find out with God as you grow in faith is the first thing you must attain is contentment. Contentment means that if God gives you 10 naira, or God gives you 10 million, you feel essentially the same. That's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, he said, I have learned to abound and have learned to abase. I'm not quarreling with the body of Christ generally, but I think sometimes we have skewed our gospel, teaching people only how to abound. If you want to prosper in life, you must learn how to abase. You know what it means to abase? Let's use simple words. You must learn how to be happy and survive even when you are broke. You must learn how to ride your Okada for 20 naira with pride when your friends are driving by with brand new cars. At least you must learn how to smile and say, wait, John, don't go yet, wait. And you go to the brand new car, he winds down and you talk, you know, like, oh boy, now what? That is no pride, no jealousy, no anger, nothing in you. And say, oh, are you going this way? No, I'm going the other way. All right, okay, bye-bye now. He winds up again. And you go back and the bike man is waiting for you. You jump on top of the bike and you keep going. Do you follow the point I'm making? That's what it means to learn to abase. No, sometimes we preach a gospel that makes people should just abound alone. That praise God. The only way we know God is blessing you is that you are abounding. Paul said that. When Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, he was saying that I can survive adversity. That's what he was saying. Go and read it in context. He said, I've learned how to use plenty and I've learned how to survive when there is nothing. He said, I can do both of them because there is Christ who is giving me strength. Are you getting my point? That is, God said, you will get to a point. Listen, whether I give you 1 minute to do business or I give you a whole city to rule over, is the same energy, the same joy, the same excitement that you will do both of them. At that point, I know you are ready, really, for breakthrough. Are you getting my point? What have I tried to say this time around? Let's start looking at breakthrough like the world looks at it. Let's start realizing that it's a matter of what? Bigger responsibilities. I've told all those stories to let you know that sometimes you look and say, this guy is enjoying. He's not enjoying. Is working harder. Are you getting my point? Look, I said before, glory, the word glory in Greek means what? Weight. That's why Paul said the weight of glory, it's heavy. It's heavy. You must have the energy to carry it. And God demonstrates the amount of glory you can handle. Are you getting my point? By what you have done with the little that he has given. Please, don't let's ever forget that too. People say, in Nigeria, there are no jobs. I said it's a lie. There are things that Christians must never say. Are you getting my point? There are statements that believers must never make. Who said there are no jobs? You mean glory is not hiring everybody? We know. You mean Zen is not hiring everybody? We are aware. You mean that for every 1,000 applications, Shell takes only 2? We know, we are aware of that. That has not proved that there are no jobs. Are you getting the point I'm making? Because if you understand that a job means have a meaner and occupy with it, then you realize that you've passed by 10,000 jobs instead of looking for one. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I remember once a brother, I was sitting down somewhere. Somebody said, "Where are you working now?" He said, "I don't have a job." He said, "I'm not working yet." He said, "I'm only managing in this particular school. I teach there." He wasn't talking to me, but that one, I couldn't let it pass me by. I turned to him. I said, "And to you, that is not the job." He got my point. The way I said that simple statement. Meanwhile, in heaven, God is looking and said, "Okay, Gabriel, gather 2 angels, all right? Let them watch him. Let's watch him over the next 2 years. Let's see how he does with this little we have given him." But the guy goes around saying, "I don't have a job yet." And Gabriel said, "You are not ready to prosper yet." He said, "Bro, how far now?" "I don't have a job yet." Gabriel said, "No problem. You know, you are growing old. We, our age, know the change." No, you had better agree you have a job now and do it effectively. What I was writing in that book I was telling you about was a particular point I got to talking about the fact that when I'm talking about the work of God, I said secular work. There's a whole section, it's a whole a chapter where I said secular work is the work of God. Remember the secular work? You work in a school, you work in a bank, you work in an office, a civil service office, you work anywhere. You work in a restaurant, you work in a hotel. Christians think that let us now finish the job of the world and then go rush to church and quickly clean the place. This is the work of God. You quickly clean it. He said that one is the work of God. I went to it. God, let me use as an example. I went to visit somebody once. I said, "Where's your husband?" He said, "He's on duty today." I said, "Doing what?" He said, "They are doing security in their church." I said, "What? Your husband is doing security in church? Your husband is a regional manager in a bank. He's doing security in church? Will he do security in his bank?" You see what I'm trying to say about Christians? They don't have sense. Will he do security in his bank? No. But he will go outside church and say, "This one is the house of God. They have been stealing our things." And a senior manager, a regional manager, is there doing security. I hope the thieves will come in the afternoon and teach you what security is. What kind of thing is that one? Because we think the building is special. She? He gets some job way back, you know, the follow person do. Security? No, I'm not coming there. I don't do security in UNTH. I don't do security in Kingdom World Office. I won't do security in any church. He said, "Why?" I said, "How much is security in this town? If 3 of you gather money, 1% of your income, you will hire a strong and wicked security man." What kind of nonsense is that? Adult? You know what I'm saying? When I say adult now, financial adult. Do you know what I'm saying? No, please, I hope you are getting my point. It is not the security that is the problem. It is the fact that you think that what is a church building. There's a reason why I'm saying that. If you went to your office and the place was not clean, will you bend down to sweep it? No. You will say, "After all, we are paying staff to sweep these places." What, is that not what you are going to say? But when it's just saying, "No, praise God, it's the house of God, we should sweep." Listen to me, I don't believe all that nonsense. I don't. God doesn't have a house. All this time we say, "It's the house of God." As I was trained never to believe that crap. House of God is a convenient meeting place. Do you get my point? That's why, if you like, I have been to church before. You know, the church was in a nightclub. During the night, they do their iniquity. During the day, you cast out all the demons of cigarettes and everything you see on the floor. And Abraham's blessings are mine. You pay them. At the end, you go away. When you come, God comes. When they return in the evening, evil spirits too enter. There's no... No, please. Is it possible? I'm trying to say something. If you can do it in the house of God, what you call the house of God, brethren, do it in your secular office also. That's where I'm going. If you enter your office and they say that the place is not clean because the last cleaner was sacked last week, the other one resigned, and they have not employed new ones. Don't say, "You see, I am a consultant. after 75 years of studying medicine and doing specialty, I cannot start sweeping. Listen, if you want to say that, fine, but don't sweep when you get to church. If you can sweep in church, as God lives, I instruct you, you should sweep that office also. Okay, there are no cleaners. All right, no problem. Please, somebody get me a mop. This place is too dirty. I'm not explaining something because you understand that that work is also the work of God. Do you get my point?